All right, we'll call this board meeting to 6:05. Okay, moving forward, adoption amendment of agenda.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion, I need a second.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of minutes, page 3, on March 19th in your board packet. I'll ask for a motion and a second.
Move approval.
All right, I got a motion for approval for March 19th and a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. April 16th, board special meeting. I'll ask for a motion and a second.
Move approval.
All right, for Mary, I got a, and who's the second? All right. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. March 19th, for the personnel committee meeting. Request approval. Mary and Jeff, however you want to do it. All right. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything in the public open forum?
Nope.
See nothing there? Financials, 5.1. These are page 15 in your packet. And this is for the motion to pay the bills. Give you a minute or two if you want. In my case, a second or two. Got a motion, I need a second.
Second.
I got a second. Dave motion, Dave made the motion. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 5.2, financial report. Moving right along, need a motion and a second.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Between Jeff and Ed, you figured out. All right. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 5.3, auditor's report.
There she comes. You all have, this is your audit material,
yep.
So.
Can we kill the lights on the screen?
Thank you.
Details have.
If you can't read the report, you can't do anything. This is good.
Okay.
I was just being stupid.
I'm Jackie Knowles with Bergen KDV, and I'm going to be going over the results of the 2018 audit. And we're doing a PowerPoint presentation again this year. If you've been around for a couple years, we're changing it up again based on requests from different board members. So the main purpose of our audit is to issue the library our independent auditor's report on the financial statements. This complete report is found on pages 1 through 3 of the financial statements document. And in this report, it states that we are responsible for auditing the library's financial statements for the year ended December 31st, 2018. Management is responsible for the amounts within the financial statements, and then our responsibility is to test those amounts and express an opinion on them. And our opinion this year is what we call an unmodified or a clean opinion. It's the best that we can offer. There are a couple additional reports within the financial statements document that we are also required to issue. The first is a report on compliance with government auditing standards. We take a closer look at the internal controls of the library, and then we also look at compliance with your different grants and other regulations that apply to the library. And we had one internal control finding there. It should look familiar, the lack of segregation of accounting duties. So with that, we're just recommending that the board continue to be aware of that situation, that there is some overlap within the various transactions. And we just want management to continue to monitor that and make improvements, if possible, based on a cost-benefit analysis. And then we do also report on compliance with Minnesota state statutes as required by the Office of the State Auditor, and we did not have any legal compliance findings. So looking at compliance with your investing activity, conflicts of interest, bids and quotes, requirements, things like that. And then the rest of the presentation will look at some financial trends over the last 5 years, kind of focusing on 2018, looking back to 2017. And these charts and graphs come from the communications letter document. So if you wanted something in front of you, these start on page 8 of the communications letter and basically go in that same order. So your revenues were up about 4% from 2017 to 2018. And the biggest increase was in the state and other grants category. And there are a number of grants that show up there, the main ones being RLTA and RLBSS. Those were both up with increases in eligible grant expenditures and in your grant awards. There was also a new grant this year, starting in 2018, the Breaking Down Barriers grant also contributes to that increase. And then regional receipts was the other larger increase, up about 2.1% based on the budget. Looking at your sources of revenue, they were very consistent from 2018, looking back to 2017, just a 1 percentage point variance here and there. But overall, consistent funding sources, regional receipts continues to be your largest source at 71% compared to 72% last year from the counties. Moving on to expenses, these were actually down in 2018 compared to 2017, and that was due to a decrease in salaries and benefits, which is your largest expense, and that was driven by a decrease in the library's share of the PERA net pension liability. So each municipality in the state has a percentage of that whole statewide liability, and that liability at the state level went down. So each contributing entity's liability also decreased as those PERA investments did rather well in 2018. And then one other category that reported a larger decrease was the loss on disposal of materials. And management is always evaluating the useful lives, the estimated useful lives of its assets, making changes to that to ensure that those assets are being depreciated over the time period that that asset is being used. And so we did see a decrease in that loss amount this year in 2018. And looking at your spending percentages, these were also very consistent with the prior year. Again, just 1 percentage point variance here and there. Salaries and benefits were 73%. Again, your largest spending category, and that was the exact same looking back to 2017. Here we kind of pull your revenues and expenses together, and we can see that revenues did exceed expenses in 2018 by the largest amount that we've seen over the last 5 years. Revenues exceeded expenses by about $886,000. Yep.
Can we stop with it? 2014, that's the anomaly.
Yep.
Please refresh my memory and explain
that. So 2015 was the first year that we had to start reporting that net pension liability on your books. Okay. And so bringing that liability on resulted in a large decrease in your net position. And so this is your unrestricted net position. So what's available for spending on any purpose? And we talked about, so in 2015, that big decrease from that net pension liability coming on the books. And then that net pension liability has had a pretty big impact on your unrestricted net position. So as that liability decreased in 2018, we do see an increase in your unrestricted net position this year. And then this last graph shows your total net position. So this is going to be all three categories of your equity balance. And the largest category is what we call net investment in capital assets. So this is what you have invested in equipment and books and materials, net of any accumulated depreciation on them thus far. And in 2018, this amount increased for the first time in the last 5 years. And that was due to the board approving many one-time equipment purchases in 2018 to help spend down your funds. And so this is where we see that reflected. So a lot of new items in capital assets this year. The restricted is a rather small piece, and that's just whatever amount of your equity is restricted by outside sources. So mainly it's going to be your gift fund and anything else that is restricted by outsiders. And then your unrestricted, this is going to be that same amount from the prior graph. So just what's available for spending on any purpose. And again, an increase in 2018 with the decrease in your net pension liability. And that was all that I had. I can take any questions from anyone.
Mr. Chair. Mary?
Yep.
Explain again why there was a decrease in the pension liability back in, 2015?
So there wasn't a change. It was an auditing standard change. So prior to 2015, you didn't report that liability on your books at all.
Really?
Yep. And so 2015 was the first year we see that liability on your books, and so that's why there was the big decrease.
And it wasn't just the library.
Yep, that was the nationwide thing. So.
Yes. Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, Karen, or do you want to explain this latest GASB requirement that's coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Next year, I think we'd be remiss
the leases?
Yeah.
Well, we're still researching what this means, but there is a new GASB that is going to change up how your leases are reported. And that isn't in effect until it would be your 2020 audit, so a couple years down the road. But we're kind of investigating how the leases with the different cities where you lease out a space in a city hall, for example, how that would need to be reported in the financial statements. We're not exactly sure yet because there's not really a money exchange. It's just using space in exchange for personnel and that type of resource. So that could impact 2020, but we're not exactly sure how that's going to look yet.
I ended up with 31 standard branch agreements, I think, because it'll make it a little bit easier.
And one to go.
Any other questions for?
Mr. Chair, Karen, are we going to speak on the communication letter separately on the segregation of county duties, or when will that be discussed?
We can now. I guess that happens every year, so.
And is there anything that consultant recommends or
hire more people to count the beans?
What it would take to remove that?
From an auditor perspective, we've always said probably a couple FTEs to completely get rid of this comment. So, you know, it comes down to a cost-benefit analysis of adding and paying for those two additional staff.
You note it, but then you have the disclaimer of why. It's not cost effective to have two people count the same bean, or three people, or four people. That's a standard. We get that in every one we get.
Yeah, it's a very common finding.
Thank you.
And this is at what we call the significant efficiency. It's not the highest level finding. It's the next lowest because we do recognize that the library does have many compensating controls in place, checks and balances between staff, and even having the board review lots of items, financial reports, so that does help.
So if Aaron gets a new hog, then we get a certain question.
Anything else? Thank you for that report. All right, I will need a motion and a second.
Mr. Chairman, before we do that, just real quickly, I was at the preliminary audit, and I know that none of us like to hear audit reports, and most of us don't appreciate the requirement to do this kind of a thing, but we have to do it. It's, our hands are tied. But I do know that staff really values that we give input on the budget, watching the budget. I've always felt that our biggest role on any public board is fiduciary responsibility. And whatever you can interact with staff, they spend a lot of time putting this all together. And if you can at least just kind of review it and share some of your thoughts. One, we're all doing our job. And two, it at least allows staff to recognize that we are watching and looking, and they quite frankly want that too, unless somebody is trying to cook something. So if we all work together and we, you know, pay a little bit more attention. Certainly we all would change some things, including the audit requirement and a GASB requirements as they keep getting added on and on. However, I guess we got to work with what we've got, and it's not staff's fault, and we just need to continue to be vigilant, I think, on how the money is raised and spent and making sure everything's the way we all want it to be and the public wants it to be. So for whatever it's worth, with that, I'll move the auditing report.
All right. I got a motion. I need a second.
Second.
I have a second from Dan. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Aaron, also.
Thank you.
Moving on, 5.4, unassigned fund balance. That's page 15, right, I believe it is.
Often referred to, Mr. Chair, is the Ed report.
The unassigned fund balance grew a tad. As you heard Jackie say, that revenues were up like $800,000. But that's including grants and everything like that. This doesn't take into account grants. So it went up about 0.44. So we're about 6.84 months. One way to get that down is what Ed was saying, is to use reserves going forward, maybe, to drop that down a little bit lower. But the surplus goes into there, and that's pretty synonymous with the surplus that we had in 2018, so 340-some thousand.
Aaron, the month reserve is from 4 to 6 months. That's what they kind of require, right?
The auditors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're really strong here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're strong, yeah.
But there are, as I mentioned earlier, projects that were designated in July.
Oh, correct.
That we haven't spent yet. So
yes.
I think for next board meeting, we'll bring up progress report on that stuff. And one of the other factors that is not incorporated in either 2019 or 2020's budget is our recent change to no fines for kids, which starts in June. And we might see up to a $40,000 revenue impact on that. So we're not really sure how that's going to play out until it actually starts happening. So,
I mean, with tighter budgets, this could go down just naturally on its own, too. Mm-hmm.
Any more discussion on that? Or did I ask for a motion? I don't think
you
I did.
It.
Did I? No. Okay, I need a motion and a second for
so
the unassigned. Mr. Potter, and a second?
Second.
And I got a second from Melissa. Any more discussion? Not? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Consent agenda. 6-1, page 17 in your folders.
This is our state aid application that we have to fill out every year. So we do need it approved so we can submit it by July 1st. The amount could change, but we won't know that until September.
All right, I got a motion from Dave. I need a second.
Second.
Second from Jeff. Any more discussion? Not? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, looks like summer reading program. Is there anything else on the consent agenda?
Nope.
All right. Okay, communication, summer reading program.
Page 25 is a copy of the postcard that went out. In the past, we have done a variety of different solicitations for summer reading program. This is the first time We've just sent a postcard with a link, and so far we've been getting decent return on it, so we're hopeful that it will be successful.
And we'll be going, really getting Sherwood and Wright County involved. To get their card numbers up so the Morrison counties can go down.
This is just donations.
I know, but again, all that every little bit helps.
How come I got 20 of them in the mail?
And I didn't get any.
Someone likes you.
It went to donors who had donated to summer reading program in years prior. It would have been to that specific appeal.
Mr. Chair, for Karen, you said so far it's going pretty well. What does that mean?
They're starting to come back. They only went out last week, so the fact that we're seeing donations will be...
And they would come in usually locally, or
again, I make
no.
This
is for the regional summer reading program. So this is the incentives that every branch gets. That's the same from our regional headquarters. And 2 years ago, we sent to a business mailing that we had purchased and received back a minimal return last year. Right. Last year, we sent to just summer reading program donors and got a pretty decent response. So we'll watch returns this year to see how they track last year.
Do we know if more money gets dropped off at the regional locations or comes in directly?
This is a regional solicitation. So if there's local summer reading program donations, those stay with the branch and they go to support prizes at the branch level.
I see.
So they would not count toward this campaign, and they haven't in the past.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Pop. Is there a goal or a trying to get to? Is there a number?
I think we're trying to raise something like $7,000. I should have asked that. That's usually what it takes to support the regional.
Dave, write a check.
Yeah.
What?
I can write one, but it might not be any good.
He's got a cop's pension. He's got all kinds of money.
Okay. Anything else? If not, presentations.
None.
All right. Staff reports. We'll start with executive directors.
All right. A few things I'd like to bring you up to speed on.
That's starting on page 27.
Which says March, but...
Oh! We always miss something.
What?
You're right. It should say May.
Well, then we don't need to hear it.
Yeah. Okay, all done. We included strategic plan progress for first quarter at the beginning of all the management reports. That first page includes updates from our content work group, which is one of the process improvements we've been looking at, and all of the things they're doing to try to align our print marketing messages with our online marketing messages with our social media presence. Julie's also been working on the staffing calculator and has been going out and retiming stuff. On the next page, 28, I mentioned this at the Finance Committee also, Partner for Student Success. We've seen as a presenter here in the past. They recently merged with the United Way of Central Minnesota here to focus on education initiatives in the St. Cloud area because they had similar goals and United Way was already their fiscal host. These two entities are applying for two separate grants, one with the Department of Education, one with the Department of Health and Human Services. The Health and Human Services grant is a whole family grant. The Department of Ed grant is centered around 21st century learning centers. So it's the idea of quality out of school time. We have agreed to be project partners with both of these grants. What that means is if they get the grant, we would receive funding that would extend some of the activities from our current Breaking Down Barriers to Family Literacy projects. So like conversation circles, pop-up libraries, would be something this entity would contract with us with to deliver grant activities at a number of sites across the community. They are, for the Health and Human Services grant, there are only 15 sites across the state that they will be doing site visits for. 10 of those sites will receive the grant, and they are visiting here on Thursday. So we're hopeful that they will receive that grant. We should hear fairly soon. But I did want to bring you up to speed because that that has been happening fairly quickly. From a legislative perspective, the House bill included the library initiative. The Senate bill did not. It's still caught in conference committee. Wasn't sounding real promising yesterday. So I reached out to Dan Bravender because Representative Erdahl, who is his...
I did send an email.
From his area, is on the conference committee.
Yep.
That being said, Representative Erdahl has been always very library friendly. He's actually sponsored the library legacy bill multiple years in a row. So if you know a senator who could influence the education committee, now would be the time to let them know that libraries should have a space on that committee. One of the concerns on that final budget bill, one of the concerns that we heard from the lobbyist is there is still funding for Center for the Book, which is the entity out of the metro area that in the past has funded Minnesota Book Awards. It's a lovely project. We'd be happy to put legacy money toward it if they need funding, but for them to be allocated in the education bill over libraries across the state is a
that's very localized, isn't it?
It's not. I mean,
yeah.
You can get stuff out, but it's very metro focused.
Yep.
So we were very disappointed to learn that.
I was reading about that when you sent the email. I said, "Ew."
Yeah, it's really sad. It's 125,000, but you know, it's 125,000.
That was kind of my question. Yeah. It's metro.
There's a lot of metro people on that ed committee right now.
Of course. Yep. Well, how can that change?
Elections.
Redistrict.
All right. Yeah. I think that was the only two things I wanted to bring up for right now. I'll talk more about the St. Cloud lease when we get to that point on the agenda.
Ooh, okay. All right. Management report, strategic plan progress.
It's all in there.
It's page 31.
Yep. One addition I wanted to bring to your attention is we just wrapped up the locally grown campaign. Brianne posted final totals yesterday. To refresh your memories, High Five was what we did 2 years ago. That year we brought in, I think, $11,000 through High Five. Last year we rebranded it as locally grown. All of the proceeds raised at the local level stay at the local level. We raised $20,000 last year. Our goal this year was $21,000. We hit $24,000. So, yeah, we were very excited to see that. We had a lot of libraries that exceeded their goals. Even some of the smaller ones, like Eagle Bend, rocked it. So Elk River rocked it. Waite Park raised more than St. Cloud. I mean, it was just really phenomenal, the work that's being done out there to do some local projects. Becker and Big Lake, they had in both of those libraries a little voting booth. So there were three different projects that the people who donated could say they wanted the money to go to. And so whichever one got the most votes, that's what they're going to do. So They really took an extra effort with it this year.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was really fabulous. So that would be the addition to what's written about the management reports.
Building report.
It's been pretty quiet. Let me see what's... Howard Lake's open again. Kimball's got all of their documents signed, and they're going to actually build. The B3 guidelines was a real challenge to overcome. I don't know how much you've heard about that, but part of all state grants now involve these B3 guidelines. It sounds like the amphitheater project in Waite Park ran into this as well, where one of the requirements for Kimball, for example, because it's a new building, they have to generate like 2% of the energy on site. So that means solar or wind. And that wasn't something they had originally anticipated as part of that building project. So something to be aware of around those state grants, because it sounds like next year they're even more stringent on what those requirements will be for energy efficiency.
Solar panels on the roof?
And it's not just libraries, it's any state bonding grant.
And Mike, you backed into the book drop in St. Michael?
It's not next to the bar, so there's no way it was me.
The tragedy is we just replaced it last year because the snowplow hit it. So.
Okay. Building report, first quarter stats, page 39, 9.4.
Things are going pretty well. We've done additional online promotion around some of our digital resources. So you can see a nice uptick for the chat reference, which is the first time that's happened since we've been tracking it. So we can see a correlation there. Digital library is starting to take off again. We're excited about that. Borrower numbers seem to be stabilizing, at least in the short term, since we did the renewal project. Program attendance dropped for the first time. We're not really sure, but we think it's related to the weather. First quarter was really hard on us. And you'll see that if you look at the CIRC stats for January and February.
February was a challenge for everything.
It was awful. And you can, and it may be one of the reasons our digital library usage went up.
The only guy that did well in February.
Hardware store.
I did.
And then Howard Lake, you can see too in the February stats, there's a bump up in Cocado and a big drop down in Howard Lake. But the bump up in Cocado did not make up for Howard Lake not being open. So you can see that there. Seems like it's starting to come back in March. We'll see how April, May runs.
All right, staff recognition report, page 47.
For this quarter, hit a milestone anniversary. Got some good folks retiring. We just appointed an interim in Howard Lake Cocado. Sarah Cavisto.
Oh, yeah, so. Sarah.
She just started this yesterday, so as really? Interim.
She replaces
Sheila. Sheila moved to Texas with her family. And then Mary Kutzer up in Long Prairie is also retiring at the end of the month.
Who's?
Mary Kutzer. She lives out in Upsala, but she's worked in Long Prairie for quite a long time.
All right, moving on. Human resource, annual stats, page 49.
Turnover's down. No.
How's the hiring process? I mean, are you getting a lot of applications when there is a opening?
Julie can probably speak to that better.
We're generally getting between 10 to 20 applications. So for that's adequate, and we feel pretty good about the candidates we've been able to select from.
Okay, anything else on that? Not? Committee reports, Finance Committee. Lisa.
Oh, that's me. Thank you. We met earlier this evening. A few agenda items that we had, and you all got this information, but we approved a current letter of credit that was in your packet, and we agreed as a Finance Committee that since this changes 4 to 6 times a year, that we would be okay with just a verbal update going forth. We looked over a history for about 10 years of all the grant-funded Great River Regional Library projects, just to kind of get our heads wrapped around what different grants have come in, what's our person power that we've put into them, and financial obligations, any that we have had. So that's also provided for you. We had the 2020 preliminary budget and discussion. This final budget will be adopted in July, and so far we seem good with what has been presented, but we did ask that the staff consider stop adding to the reserves beginning in 2020 and instead use that money, because our, as you saw earlier, our fund balance is pretty hearty.
Strong.
So we'd like to spend that down a little bit. So any questions? With that, I move approval of the Finance Committee as presented.
I will need a second.
Second.
I have a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 10.2, Development Committee.
Lee was originally going to do the update, but Lee had to leave early. Jane who's not here tonight. Mary was there. I don't know. You wanna...
I'm not prepared.
Okay.
Help me.
Tell us a story.
We talked about giving levels.
Make something
I believe
up.
That was this time.
Say again?
No, we met with the community foundation.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Yep.
At Lee's invitation, some people came from the, and what's it called?
Central Minnesota
Central
Community
Minnesota
Foundation.
Central Minnesota Community Foundation. And they talked about fundraising techniques and it was a good meeting. Hopefully we got smarter. I think we did. Mm-hmm. And then what? Let's see. What else did we talk about? They left.
It was pretty much the meeting.
Yeah, we
talked a little bit about like the donor breakfast update and the giving levels being up online. Locally grown. We talked about
and that
about.
Was in our
yeah.
reports.
Yeah, most of what we talked about is in Brianne's report.
But primarily it was meeting with the foundation. And then we talked about our 501c3 efforts, and which we can move forward on after now that the audit's complete. So.
We'll have the conflict of interest policy later in the packet, too, that we'll need for that.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Yep.
All right. Library Safety Security Committee.
Mr. Chair, thank goodness for Eric, because he gives us a lengthy report here. I'll try and summarize. We met on the 16th, last Thursday, here at the library, and Karen introduced a new member, who is Terry Deal Hansen, who is taking Michelle Goble's place. And that was her first meeting, I believe. Officer Warner was present from the St. Cloud Police Department, went through calls for service, and it appears that our calls for service from the same period of time from his reporting was down. We did discuss some of the calls. We talked about there are some security cameras that are not working. Karen, I think, has reported this to us before, and now Officer Warner will talk with the City Council member, Paul Brandemere, about that to see if we can get the cameras fixed. I don't know. They've been down, and it sounds like the city's kind of been using an excuse about the lease agreement that we think should be taken care of, hopefully. We talked about some apps. We talked about one app of Vitals, which is kind of going around now where someone can wear, the police can have an app where someone could have a medical bracelet or something that indicates that they have some kind of a medical condition for first responders to hopefully deal with them successfully. I gave a report on my security audits that I did at three small branch libraries and went through that, and we had some discussion about some of the issues that I came across. We did talk about mirrors, where I did the security audits. The branches would like to have some mirrors if possible, and I believe we've already budgeted for those. So Patty was going to check in to see if there was some kind of a standard or whatever on installing them or something, what size of mirrors we need to use. There was some discussion, too, about our, Lee brought up that if we would do these audits, such as I did, asked the question as to whether we would get a reduction in our insurance rates, and I believe Patty's going to talk to MCIT to see about that, and or Karen. Okay. Well, my notes say Patty, but I'll make a correction here. Karen will check into that.
He was just checking to see if you're still awake.
Yeah. So that will be probably done by Karen and report to the next security committee meeting. Karen has been checking into we discussed our security policy, and I don't think there was any really major issues on that I can recall.
No. We'll be doing an update in July, though.
Okay. And then there are some items. Karen is looking into AEDs for all libraries and possible funding. I know Jeff brought up maybe utilize the local Lions or Rotary Clubs and stuff like that for funding. But I think Karen reported that there is some grants available for purchases of those AEDs.
Check with Alina.
Alina?
Buffalo Hospital.
Yeah, Buffalo Hospital Foundation, Karen. Okay. We funded a lot of them when I was on the board.
Good. Thank you for that. I think Lee brought up, too, about local emergency responders and suggestions and options on responding, and Karen will continue to look for emergency response applications and mobile panic buttons, which we talked about for those cases. And I believe that's it. Did I miss anything?
I think that's everything.
Thank you, Eric, for such a great written report.
Yeah,
to
me. It's very thorough.
Very good note taker. So.
He's a southpaw.
With that, I'll move for accept the report, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. I don't think we needed to throw it on this one.
Probably not.
We didn't really need a motion and a second on that one.
You didn't?
No, just take it back then?
I'll take it back.
So take it back.
Thank you. Sorry.
I took mine back.
There you go.
But again, thank you, Dave, for that. All right. Unfinished business. This is my greatest topic here.
You need to work on it a little bit, too.
Well, it intersects nicely with the security committee.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
So I emailed Matt Staling, the city administrator, about where we're at. He indicated he would be sending a draft to me by the end of the month of a new lease.
Did he tell you what year of what month?
Nope. I emailed him after the security committee last week asking about the security cameras again. Did not hear a response, but I did talk to Officer Warner this afternoon, who had dinner with Paul Brandemeyer, and he is aware of both the security camera issue and the SEPTED.
The what?
The SEPTED presentation that the police did about fixing the bike racks and the environmental crime prevention through environmental design presentation that they did. So he walked them through that, and we'll see where Paul goes. He's on the council. He's also the city council liaison to the St. Cloud Library Board. So we're hopeful that maybe another voice saying, really, this should get fixed and get done might help.
Yeah, really.
and that's where we're at.
That's just silly.
It's frustrating.
Well, thank you for that report.
Waste of time.
It is.
For sure.
Library development plan update.
We had our first meeting this month. I included a brief summary of that in my director's report. At this point, we're just starting to look at the statistics and the facilities section of the document itself will likely be changing how the facilities section talks about express checkouts, because when we wrote it, most libraries didn't have one, and we've actually reached the tipping point where at least half of them do. So that's something the patron services supervisors are working on, and then Aaron Jay and I are going to be digging into the data around things like CERC per open hour and average CERC per borrower, and see if there's anything that we can learn from those trends in relation to the open hours, especially in those locations where we added open hours over the last couple of years, to see what we see. I did send a list of all the meeting dates out, so if board members do want to attend, you're welcome to come to any of those meetings.
Okay. Looks like we're going into labor negotiations. We'll have a closed session. This is a closed meeting for labor negotiation strategy pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.03. I'll ask for a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
All right, and we are having the closed session here at St. Cloud Great River Regional Library, and the time is 6:49. Gentlemen, ladies, I'll ask for a motion to open the meeting again.
So move.
Second.
I got a motion from Wayne and a second from Dan. All right, and it is now...
Way to go, Wayne.
Speaker.
He snuck that one in there. It is 7:20. I ask for a motion, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We are open, open meeting again. All right.
He's trying to keep up.
New business. Conflict of interest, page 51, 12.1 in your packet.
So, I was going through the 501c3 application and asked for our conflict of interest policy. And even though we have a million policies, we did not have a conflict of interest policy. The format I followed was primarily from the IRS template. I did look at other regional library systems, and legal counsel has reviewed it. So the way we've set it up is it will be, there is a reference in bylaws saying the limitations around board members are that we won't hire board members, family members, or something like that. And then personnel policy, there's a policy that says incompatible activities are a problem and things like that. So this would apply to both board and staff members, but it's written primarily from that board administration standpoint. So it will be in the administration policies along with things like the security policy and the data practices policy. So this will just be a new chapter.
All right. Thank you for that. I'll ask for a motion and a second for the conflict of interest policy. Motion from Mary and a second from Mike. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else there? All right, we're moving right along. Open forum. Fran, do you have anything to say?
No, I do not.
Passing it down to Mary.
Thank you.
Well, in Ray County, we passed the motion to approve a bond for a government center and a tactical range. And there is a group of people there that are attempting to do what's called a reverse referendum.
Really?
Dan, tell us all about it. Okay, anyway.
This is a GRL meeting,
yeah.
Not
but
a Wright County
But they always tell what's going on
here.
But anyway, so that's what Wright County is involved in right now.
All right. Thank you.
Wayne? I still like you, Mike, some.
All right. Sort of. Dave, you have anything to say?
No.
Definitely.
Or as Jim would say, Happy Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Memory
Lisa,
Jim.
We got to have something for
Happy
you.
Memorial
Nothing,
Day.
Huh? Lisa?
Just our biggest thing in Sherburne County is new administration hiring. We have 52 applicants.
Wow.
So the search firm is helping us whittle that down to 15, and I will spend all Memorial Day weekend, feel bad for me, reviewing those 15 applicants. So, yeah, it's going well.
All right.
They, this Friday at the old Garfield School, there's an interfaith dinner, and anybody that wants to come is invited. It's a community iftar for the Muslim month of Ramadan, and we're hosting an interfaith dinner to have people come and kind of see how we fast and how we pray and stuff like that, and then there'll be food. So anybody's more than happy to come. The timing is about 7:30 to 8. So the dinner will be late because the fast breaks at 9 p.m. So you will eat dinner at 9 p.m.
Well, thank you for that. Myself, no. I need a motion to adjourn.
I just want to make a note. We will not be having a June board meeting. Okay. So the next meeting will be in July.
July 16th, 2019. Was that going to be a
person?
Will there be a personnel and a...
Personnel, finance,
so
and full board.
So it'll be 5 o'clock.
Yep.
So just to be clear, no work session, nothing.
Unless there's something you really want to have a meeting.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Just to be clear.
All right. So, yep, July 16th, there's our next Board of Trustees meeting. I need a motion and a second to adjourn.
Move.
Adjournment.
I got one from Jeff. I got a second from Mary. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. Have a good Memorial weekend, and we'll see you in July.